Imagine the scenario for a second. You own a small rental property, and you are owed a little over $2,000 in back rent.
So a super stressful situation for anyone.
Right. You're frustrated, but you want to do everything strictly by the book. So you go online, you download all the correct legal paperwork, you pay the local court fees out of your own pocket, and then, after weeks of waiting, you finally get your day in front of a judge to get your money back.
You think you've crossed every T and dotted every I?
Exactly. But the judge looks at your folder, asks you one single question about how you notified your tenant, and then bam, immediately bangs the gavel. Your entire case is thrown out, the tenant stays, and you get absolutely nothing. And the reason you lost, you sent the eviction notice as a text message.
Yeah, it sounds completely absurd, especially today. But, I mean, it is a surprisingly common and incredibly expensive reality for property owners who just don't understand the invisible tripwires of the legal system.
Well, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are exploring a really fascinating paradox. We live in an era where you can digitally sign a 30-year mortgage on your smartphone, right? Or like transfer thousands of dollars across the globe with just a simple facial recognition scan.
Yeah, everything is instant. Everything is digital.
Right, but the foundational mechanics of our justice system operate on rules that really haven't fundamentally changed since, the invention of the printing press. To understand this, we're diving into an amazing trove of data and operational guidelines from Lafayette Process Servers.
Yeah, they're a firm operating down in the New Orleans metro area.
Exactly. We have their 2026 Guide to Louisiana Eviction Notices, along with some incredibly granular micro-study data on evictions across Southeast Louisiana. And it paints a picture of a system that is unapologetically rigidly physical. We also have their service pricing lists, statutory guidelines, and even a sponsor message from Louisiana local SEO marketing.
And we have some strict legal disclaimers to get through as well.
We do. But our mission today is to basically decode the hidden, incredibly strict procedural rules of the legal system. We're using Louisiana evictions as our lens to show how the machinery of the law relies entirely on hyper-specific physical actions in a totally digital world.
Because the tension between our digital expectations and the physical demands of the law is it's really the core issue here.
Yeah, and if you are a renter, a property owner, or honestly just someone fascinated by the hidden mechanics of society, understanding how this legal clock actually starts will completely change how you view the justice system.
The law operates as a massive piece of machinery, and that machinery does not run on code or algorithms. It runs on physical proof.
Okay, let's unpack this because the contrast hits you right away when you look at the landscape of these businesses and our sources. There's a sponsor message from Louisiana local SEO marketing, right?
Right, the SEO firm.
Yeah, and they boast about digital dominance, like conquering Google Maps, optimizing search engine algorithms, driving business growth through the internet. It's an entire industry built on manipulating the invisible digital world.
Yeah, but the actual business they are sponsoring, the process server, is the exact opposite.
Right. You can optimize your digital footprint all day long, but an algorithm cannot physically hand a legal document to someone standing in their driveway.
It just can't. And that analog reality is grounded in a very strict legal baseline. I mean, the source materials are very clear with their disclaimers. Process servers are not law enforcement officers. They are not attorneys.
And as a quick aside for you listening, our deep dive today is purely for informational purposes, too.
Right, exactly. But the critical distinction in the text is that a professional process server is a court-appointed official.
Oh.
Under Louisiana Code of Civil Procedure, or CCP, Article 1293, they operate under a specific judicial appointment.
So, like, even the investigative stuff they do.
Yeah, any investigative work, like skip tracing to find someone who has, skipped town, that is strictly legally tethered to that court appointment to deliver a document.
So a landlord can't just hire these professionals to go play a private investigator and harass a former tenant. They need a judge's permission first. It's essentially a legal VIP pass. A judge has to sign a motion and order just to authorize this person to go deliver a piece of paper.
That's a great way to put it, a VIP pass.
But my immediate thought here is, why? If I am a landlord and my tenant is dodging my calls, why can't I just march over there, knock on the door, and hand them the eviction notice myself?
What's fascinating here is the underlying philosophy, which is the absolute preservation of due process. When you initiate a legal action that could result in someone losing their housing, the state is preparing to use its monopoly on force.
Oh, wow. I never really thought of it quite like that.
Yeah, it's serious. So the court needs an absolute, unbiased guarantee that the defendant was properly notified. If a landlord hands the paper over themselves, and the tenant later stands up in court and says, "Hey, I never received any notice."
The judge is just stuck.
Exactly. It's simply one biased party's word against another's. The landlord obviously has a massive financial interest in winning. But a court-appointed process server is a neutral third party. Their entire professional reputation, their legal liability, and their sworn notarized affidavit are built on providing an objective truth to the court.
And we can actually see what happens when people try to bypass that neutral third party. The numbers from Southeast Louisiana are staggering. Let's look at that 2026 micro study data from the Lafayette firm.
The data really puts it into perspective.
It really does. They tracked 13,016 annual eviction filings across the region in 2024. 73% of those cases were strictly for non-payment of rent, and the average amount owed was around $2,134. We're talking about tens of millions of dollars here.
Right, which highlights how routine this is for the courts, which makes the failure rate all the more significant.
Yeah, this is the killer stat that completely reframed this for me. In Orleans and Jefferson Parishes, 23% of all eviction cases were either dismissed or severely delayed due to improper service.
Nearly a quarter of all cases.
Yes. Nearly a quarter of these cases imploded simply because a landlord tried to serve the papers themselves or they used a prohibited method. But get this, cases with a court-appointed server had a 94% success rate.
And that enormous gap is entirely procedural. The judge isn't throwing out 23% of these cases because the tenants didn't owe the money. They're throwing them out because the landlord tripped over the physical requirements of notice.
Which brings us back to my text message scenario.
Right.
We are so accustomed to digital communication being legally binding, right? Like you can sign a tax return online, but an email or text message actually voids an eviction case.
It completely voids it. Even leaving a voicemail or sending it through regular USPS mail is considered a prohibited method.
In 2026, that is just wild to me.
I know, but if you think about the stakes of an eviction, stripping someone of their home, the rejection of digital methods makes perfect logical sense. The court demands undeniable analog proof because digital methods just carry too much plausible deniability.
Oh, like claiming it went to spam.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Did the email get filtered to spam? Did a kid borrow the phone and accidentally open the text message, leaving it on read without the tenant ever actually seeing it?
Right. So even if you have an iPhone read receipt, you can't just tell the judge, "Hey, I know they saw it."
The court will absolutely reject a read receipt. The valid methods are incredibly limited. You must execute personal delivery in the presence of witnesses, or you could physically post it on the door with witnesses present.
And what about certified mail? I feel like people always use that.
You can use USPS certified mail with a return receipt, but there's a huge caveat. The receipt must be physically signed by the lessee themselves.
Wait, let me make sure I understand how strict this is. If the mail carrier delivers the certified letter and, like, the tenant's roommate signs for it, the notice is invalid.
Under the strictest interpretation of these statutes, yes.
Yeah.
If the lessee's signature isn't on that green card, a defense attorney can argue they were never personally served, and the judge could void the whole thing.
Oh, wow. Okay, so the delivery mechanism has to be intensely physical. But then the source data gets into what that physical piece of paper actually has to say, and this reveals a fascinating legal quirk about time.
Yeah, the timelines initially seem very straightforward. The notices are broken down by time. If it's purely for non-payment, it's a 5-day notice to vacate. For lease violations or ending a month-to-month tenancy, it's a 10-day notice.
5 days, 10 days, simple enough. But here's where it gets really interesting. Under CCP Article 4701, the notice has to be dated to show when it was drafted, but the landlord absolutely must not write down a specific calendar date for the tenant to move out.
Right, that is a huge trap for landlords.
Yeah, if they write, "You must vacate by Friday, October 12th," they have legally invalidated their own notice. They have to state the tenant must comply within 5 days of service.
That phrasing is the linchpin of the entire process.
I started visualizing it like a stopwatch. It's like a ticking stopwatch that only clicks and starts running the exact second the process server physically hands the paper to the tenant. It's not an alarm clock set for a specific Friday.
That stopwatch analogy perfectly captures the protection for the tenant. The law guarantees a specific window of time to respond.
Right, because if the landlord drafted it on Monday for a Friday move out, but couldn't find the tenant until Thursday,
the tenant would suddenly only have 1 day to figure out their housing. So the stopwatch ensures the legal window is preserved. It guarantees the full 5 days.
But, I mean, if the stopwatch only starts when physical delivery happens, people must know this. Do tenants just actively try to hide to stop the clock?
They frequently do. And it initiates this crazy cat and mouse game. The pricing menus from Lafayette process servers show the whole arsenal available to counter this.
Yeah, let's look at the pricing. Standard service is $125, which gets you 1 to 5 days and 3 attempts. But if they're hiding, there's rush service for $205.
Which guarantees a first attempt within 24 hours.
And then there's the same-day emergency option for $280. Plus, the toolkit includes skip tracing for $35 to $100 to find evasive targets. They even offer stakeout surveillance.
With body cam documentation, no less.
Right. For $120 an hour with a 2-hour minimum. But looking at these numbers, an average of $2,134 in back rent owed, plus $280 for emergency service, plus maybe a $240 stakeout, plus a $45 notarized affidavit, plus court fees. At what point is the landlord just throwing good money after bad? Is it really worth it?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it actually makes total financial sense.
Right.
Because doing it cheaply and getting the case dismissed costs even more in lost time.
How so?
Well, the data shows that the average time from filing to judgment in Orleans Parish is 47 days. If your case gets thrown out because you tried to serve it yourself...
Oh, you have to start all over.
Exactly. You lose another month and a half of rent. So investing in a bulletproof, court-accepted affidavit is basically an insurance policy against a judge throwing the case out on a procedural technicality.
Okay, I see that. But what if the tenant just barricades themselves inside and refuses to open the door?
The law actually has a bypass for that under CCP Article 1234 called domiciliary service. If the target hides, the server can legally leave the documents with any suitable adult who resides at the home.
Oh, so if a spouse or a roommate answers the door, they just hand it to them and the stopwatch clicks.
Precisely.
Okay, so let's say the stopwatch has run out. The documents were perfectly served, and now we enter the courtroom. But the sources revealed the landlord hasn't won yet because there are major tenant defenses that can flip the script at the last second.
The biggest one is what we can call the rent trap.
This mechanism is wild. Let's say the tenant owes the $2,134, but they see the landlord and say, hey, I only have $50, please take this for now. If the landlord accepts that $50, what happens?
If a landlord accepts any payment, even a partial one, after the notice is filed, it completely waives the non-payment eviction.
Wait, really? Just from accepting $50?
Yep. It reestablishes the tenancy. The court needs a clean breach of contract. Accepting money erases that clean breach.
That is a brutal trap. Human nature says some money is better than no money.
Right, but the law doesn't care. There are also absolute bans on self-help evictions. Landlords cannot legally change locks or cut off utilities. Doing so results in massive damages. And there are strict anti-retaliation protections.
Okay, but let's assume the landlord navigates all of this perfectly and wins the judgment. The judge orders the tenant to leave. But the data says there's a 24-hour window next.
Yes. Once a judgment is issued, the tenant has exactly 24 hours to vacate or file a suspensive appeal. And that appeal requires an appeal bond, usually depositing the disputed rent into the court registry.
I noticed in the study it mentioned private extensions. Like, if the landlord says, hey, you can have until Saturday to get a moving truck, does that pause the 24-hour window?
Not at all. Private extensions don't change this 24-hour legal deadline for the appeal. If they don't file, they lose the right.
The legal clock just does not care about private side deals.
Not one bit. And if they still won't leave, a writ of possession is issued and the sheriff physically removes them. Though in Orleans Parish, that only happens in about 15% of cases.
Before we wrap, I have a question about the waiver clause mentioned in the sources. Can a lease really just magically waive away the right to a notice entirely?
Yes. Under CCP Articles 4701 and 47731, waiver clauses exist. But, returning to our main theme, the landlord must present the physically signed lease to the judge.
Right. They have to physically highlight the clause for the judge. Physical proof reigns supreme.
Exactly.
So, what does this all mean? We've gone from needing a judge's VIP pass to deliver a paper, to the ban on digital notices, to the stopwatch rule, and the incredibly strict physical evidence required in court.
It's an intense procedural gauntlet.
It really is. And if you are ever signing a lease, paying rent, or trying to collect a debt, this deep dive proves that the fine print of everyday life forms this massive invisible infrastructure around us. The law doesn't care about your intentions. It only cares about your procedure.
And that leaves us with a truly fascinating question to ponder. Our entire legal system is fundamentally tied to physical addresses, in-person service, and analog signatures.
Right.
So how will the justice system function in 10, 20 years when an entire generation of digital nomads might not even have a permanent physical address to serve?
Oh, that is a great point. How do you serve a van drifting across the country?
Exactly.
Well, it is going to be fascinating to watch the courts try to figure that out. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious.